It's 6 o'clock, and we're gonna get the meeting underway here. I got a hard stop about 7:25, so Lee's gonna have to take over if we're not done.
You don't want to miss happy hour.
Adopt or amend the agenda. Any changes?
Move approval.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Approve the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. The Great River Regional Board Standing Committee appointments, that's on page 3. These are the ones we're recommending.
If I may.
These are from 20.
I can give you the spiel. Fund Development Committee, Bernice Burns and Mark Thielen have both stepped down this year. They both have personal situations going on. Jonathan Lahr is a staff member who's also a donor who's interested in joining that committee. And we're still looking for additional donor members to join, but at this point those are the names we have, in addition to Jane, Mary, and Lee. The Library Safety and Security Committee hasn't met for 2 years, and it seems like the security issues pre-COVID are not things we need to address at the board level at this time, so I would be in favor of just letting that committee dissolve and bringing it back when the need arises again. And then union negotiations, we do have contracts expiring at the end of the year for both unions.
Okay. Karen had called me about the safety and committee, and I agreed. I don't know if you all agree to the same thing, that they haven't met, and if there is some need for that, we will definitely fire it up again.
So the chair does have the authority to just appoint people. So unless somebody doesn't want to be reappointed, Jane, Mary, Lee to Fund Development, or Ed and Randy to Union, I think you could just make that appointment. If there's other thoughts.
Yeah. That's what we'll probably do, unless there's any objections to anything that's on there. And Randy, you're okay with that, I understand. Okay.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Just if someone would reach out to anyone that's not here to check in with them. I don't know. We haven't seen Mary for a couple months.
Mary had a doctor's appointment today.
Okay.
So she's aware.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yep. Thank you.
And this is a non-action item. Okay. We're all good with that. Approval of the minutes from January 18th.
Make the motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussions or any additions or anything before we vote? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Public open forum. Okay. Financials 6.1, the bills were emailed and addendums emailed. Requested action is we need approval of this. Any discussion? Anything else? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Jane makes the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Wayne. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 6.2, the financial report. I guess we could have done them both at once, but requested action.
I'll move approval.
Is there a second?
No, second.
Seconded by Al. A motion by Lisa.
Lisa, yeah.
Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The consent agenda 7.1, the Minnesota Public Library annual report. It's on page 11. There it is, if you care to page through it. How many pages?
The statistical report for every library in the system.
100 some pages. Anybody wants to look at it?
You can pass it around.
Was that online too? No.
It will be.
It will be?
Okay. Yeah, this is something we're required to submit to the state every year by April 1st.
This is an action deal?
I'll make a motion, Gary.
Gary makes a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
George seconded. Any other discussion on that motion? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 7.2, others, anything else? And we'll get to presentation. No, communication.
There's nothing there either.
There's nothing there neither. Then we'll get to communication, or presentation. 9.1, locally grown presentation, it's verbal.
We have Brianne Fruth, our communications and development coordinator. Can you grab the mic, Brianne? And then Terry Deal Hansen, who is our Royalton Library Services coordinator, to talk to you about locally grown. And locally grown is our March fundraising campaign.
Are the ukuleles included in that?
That's what they bought.
In Royalton, she said.
Yeah, you can set it right on my table here.
Okay.
Hello.
You're on.
Perfect. All right. So as mentioned, I am Brianne Fruth. I'm the Communications and Development Coordinator for the library system. And tonight we are talking about our very exciting fundraiser that happens just 1 month long in the month of March. And so locally grown is what our local campaign is called, and it is 100% of donors' gifts go to their local branch. So in many other fundraisers, like year-end campaign or summer reading program, those gifts are going to the regional library system, as opposed to locally grown, they are raising and supporting money for their local library branch. So each branch is raising money to meet a local goal based on their unique community needs and interests. And in 2021, we collectively raised over $23,000 from 631 gifts. And over 23 branches hit or surpassed their goal. And this campaign has been going on since 2018 and growing each year. Previously, this campaign or a similar spring fundraiser was called High Five, where donors were, or people coming into the library were encouraged to give $5. So that was great, but we noticed that the highest that we reached, or in 2017, that raised $11,000. So by asking people for less, then people gave less, when instead opening it to how do you want to support your local library, that gives them the opportunity to support how they best see fit. And through that, year by year, we have seen growth. And already in this March, as of last Friday, there have been two branches who've already reached their 2022 goal, and that's Belgrade and Painesville. So that's awesome for them. And this year, some of our goals that our library branches are fundraising for, it's typically a program or collection item for their, again, local branch. And some of those this year are playaway audiobooks, so different audiobooks that you can check out, some try-it-yourself kits, an event from the Minnesota Raptors Center, easy chapter books, summer reading program prizes, STEM programming, lucky day items, children's book display shelving, children flexible seating, and a garden workshop. So with that, again, all of those goals are based on what each library has identified for their local interests and needs. And it really has been very successful because many people don't oftentimes recognize maybe the Royalton Library as Great River. They just think of in their head the Royalton Library or the Staples Library. And so this gives our patrons the opportunity to support their local library that they think of when they think of their own library. So with that, we have something very exciting that's been successful in Royalton last year.
Thank you. I'm Terry, Deal Hansen. I'm the LSC in Royalton. And so I was inspired in, I think it was 2019, when the Long Prairie branch decided to fundraise for snowshoes for their library, locally grown program. And I thought, that is so cool. So patrons can come to their library, take a pair of snowshoes, go out, try them, bring them back. It doesn't cost them a thing. So I tried thinking outside of the box as well. And so I came up with some different ideas for Royalton. And some of those were, and this is in 2020, different ideas that I was trying to come up with. And so I thought, just kind of did some research, and I saw different libraries that were purchasing sewing machines, guitars, fishing poles, all of these really fun, creative ideas. So I kind of worked through my list, still really like the idea of fishing poles, but practicality led us to not do that. But what we ended up with is our ukuleles. So I'm a guitarist, so I was really kind of musically inspired. And so the ukuleles are great. Maybe, Brianne, would you mind just taking that out of there and we could kind of show it? Because they are portable, they're small, they're reasonably inexpensive to purchase, and they're relatively easy to learn how to play in a short period of time. You can check these out just like a book for 3 weeks. You can renew it if it's not requested out. So we got, we started in 2020, and then after a week, all of our libraries closed. That was the end of that for 2020. So 2021, we just picked up where we left off, and we made our goal, reached our goal of $600, which allowed us to purchase 5 of these ukulele kits. So I worked with Ekroth Music in St. Cloud, and they were wonderful and put together a proposal and allowed us to display the ukuleles throughout the month of March, which was very much helped with the participation. Kids were very excited to get these ukuleles in the library. So now we have them, and they're circulating throughout the 32 branches. And we rarely, when they're not requested out, they would come back home to Royalton. We've seen them a couple times, but they're usually out there, which is great, which is what we want. So a couple of meaningful stories that I saw in our library was a 16-year-old boy who wanted to learn the song The Rainbow Connection. And so he was so excited to check out his ukulele, and he went into our lounge and sat down on the chair, and the sweet 17-year-old boy was singing The Rainbow Connection. And that was just joyful. I mean, that's just as good as it gets. I also had a couple of twins who their grandmother comes to the library all the time with them. And they were very excited to check out these ukuleles. They're 4-year-old twins. And so grandma brought them home and brought them to their parents' home. And they had a ball. However, their parents were very, very excited to have the library take that ukulele back. Both the ukuleles. Like, thank you. And then we had Bailey, who was in our in the newsletter, and she is a teenage girl who was, again, so excited to try this out, and she just took to it right away, and her mother came in afterwards and just told me how much it improved her ability to focus on other areas, and it's proven that music does help with that, with those STEM skills, so that was just really rewarding to hear as well. And And it just kind of fits in with our mission at Great River of lifelong learning. You know, we want to promote people to never stop learning and to try something new and explore, learn, and connect, right? That's our goal. I think that's it. Oh, and then I do want to mention, because ukuleles are not an easy thing to make happen, I just want to give credit to Jamie and in collection development and circulation and cataloging and our delivery drivers who lug these around to all of these branches. It's really a team effort, and it does take a village to bring ukuleles to your library.
Any questions?
Any questions?
Do we get a demonstration on
the I knew that was How about, I don't want to, you know, take too much of your time.
No. Here she goes. She's
got that's a fine. Let's see it.
Part of the meeting. So
no yes, it will.
Tiptoe through the tulips?
If it can be a sing-along, I'll do a little a verse. It has to be a 100% participation sing-along. Sure. All right. Brian, I need your help. We're going to do a song. You all know this one.
I hope it's in tune. What? I didn't think you could do it. I don't know what I asked.
That's the only song Tiny Tim knew.
And do these books also come with it when you check it out, or can you check it out?
Yes. So the kit comes with the ukulele, the padded case, a method book, which teaches notes and chords, and then a songbook, which once you learn some of those notes and chords, you can play some songs. And here we go. All right. I'll take this.
I can hold it. Yeah.
All right. Okay, this is going to be kind of hilarious because...
We know that one.
Okay, it's kind of a tune. All right, this is Woody Guthrie. Everybody knows this land is your land. So sing along. Okay.
So, question I have, when they check it out, does that whole case go with that? That
yes.
So that's not a small amount for drivers to move around.
Right. We wouldn't want a lot of these.
It's the reason we only got five, right? But, yes, and so it comes with a tuner, which is really easy, you know, to get people in tune so it sounds good. But then, yeah, the cataloging and collection development kind of came up with this system where it just kind of keeps them in place so they're not banging around and works really well. They're barcoded, so you just check them out just like a book, and they work pretty slick.
Nice.
Any other questions? Randy, you're going to be in Royalton tomorrow to check this one out?
Thinking about it.
Okay.
I'm going to be returning it tomorrow, so it'll be there, Randy, waiting for you.
Karen, has this ever been done before where the board actually breaks out in song?
Ever happening before.
Oh, Patty got that.
Right.
Next month we're doing a polka.
And there's no alcohol involved.
That we know of.
Okay, might be time to move on.
Thank you.
Great presentation. Then we'll move on to number 10.1, staff director's report.
Well, this won't be as fun.
For executive director's report.
So there's a lot of things that have happened since we printed this packet. First, we did get notification on the Elk River planned gift lawsuit. If you recall, that we were waiting for a settlement, possibly.
the settlement didn't happen. The whole case was thrown out on summary judgment, and now there's a 60-day appeal window. So we're waiting to see if the family will appeal the summary judgment finding. After that 60 days expires, it's likely that Ameriprise will release the funds for our use at Elk River. So it's hard to say whether what will happen in that 60-day window. The clock started ticking March 1st, I think. So February 28th. So we might find out more on that soon. The other thing I wanted to let you know, we've been doing a lot of adjustments with staffing that have tried to help us with recruitment. So, for example, the Elk River Library Services Coordinator position just became vacant. We had Robbie was moving to Fargo. That was a 38-hour position. Because we had other vacancies, we are posting that as a 40-hour position with the hope that we will attract more applicants from the library sector. In the past, we haven't seen a lot of librarians apply for what is one of our largest library positions in the region. And what we learned is public loan forgiveness for library students doesn't apply to positions that are less than 40 hours. So we're hoping that this will be a good experiment to see if that results in a better applicant pool. Some of the other experiments we've been doing is in Monticello, we had a number of library aid openings, which is a $10.77 starting wage. Rather than filling those hours one for one with library aid because we were struggling with recruitment with that starting wage, we decreased the total amount of hours and posted those as assistant positions. So those assistants could also work the public service desk, but the starting wage is higher. So it's a net result budgetarily as zero, but the amount of staffing is being reduced because we're doing that. Are you still using the staffing calculator, which is a tool we use for staffing, to figure out how much staffing? But the challenge with the staffing calculator is it's built on circulation statistics. We all know what those have looked like the last 2 years. It's really hard to use those as a predictable measure. So just know we're experimenting. We have 18 library service coordinator positions across the region that run our 31 libraries other than St. Cloud. Four of those have either been opened or filled within the last month. So we're seeing a lot of turnover right now at leadership level positions. Fortunately, we've had people like Nicole Wilson, who just got hired in Cokato, Howard Lake, who is an assistant who stepped up. We rehired Ellen Munns to run Waite Park Library, and Buffalo is posted right now as well. So credit to Randy Cantor, Ryan McCormick, and Kara Langston for keeping all these things moving ahead. And our HR position was just filled too, so the HR department is almost fully staffed again, and hopefully that will help as well. But there's been some challenges. I'm sure you're all seeing that as well. The other thing I wanted to point out is, as part of our LSTA grant, we will be running the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Survey again. You may remember we did that a couple years ago. We anticipate running that in May as kind of the closeout to that grant window. We have the opportunity to run it as often as we want between now and August of 2023. So we thought we'd use that as a measure and just see what happens if there's been a notable change. I think those were the big things from the executive director report. I know Amy wanted to fill you in a little bit on the van situation, and then I have some updates on some of the buildings too.
The dealership that placed the library's 2021 van order is not receiving any production status updates from Ford. What they do know is that Ford has stopped accepting new orders until their production is back on schedule. But recent articles in the last couple of weeks have said that they're shutting down production again because of lack of parts. So the second van order that was authorized in January, we have a salesman that is watching for our parameters. He did find something that was out of our budget range and has just advised, let's just wait out the market. And we told him that we're patient. We got the vans, their necessary repairs. We think that they're holding together. We have two of them that will be approaching 300,000 miles, probably within the next 3 months. And they're really doing, the drivers and our distribution team are really doing a great job. They're being patient, they're communicating, they're letting us know as things come up. We also started using a new fleet service vendor, which is closer to the library, and it's added efficiencies, so vans can get fixed faster, and they're a smaller operation, so the service is a little bit more personable, and we've really enjoyed that new relationship. So just wanted to let you all know where that stands.
And then building updates. Elk River, I had mentioned this in the Finance Committee, but we have a contract with the City of Elk River for an additional 3 open hours that's been in place for several years. That contract expires at the end of this year. The city has expressed concern that we added open hours at other libraries, and Elk River continues to pay for additional open hours. So I assured him that we would be looking at our library development plan again this year, and those recommendations for the contract and those discussions around the contract would happen at that time. So just know those conversations will be coming. Painesville had a special session last week. They are now looking at a building that is currently owned by Centricare as a possible location for the library. They are in the process of doing an architectural assessment of the building at Washburn Court. That assessment would run about $11,000. The Painesville Friends of the Library have a grant of $8,000 from the Community Foundation to look at library feasibility type studies, and they may use those dollars to look at this building. They are possibly taking action at the March 28th City Council meeting in moving forward with an assessment of the currently owned by Centricare building. I'm aware Centricare has other buildings in other communities that they're trying to get other entities to take over, so I thought that was an interesting development. I wasn't expecting that. Cold Spring had a meeting today. If you remember at our last board meeting, there was a city council meeting that had taken place right before our board meeting where they had stopped the project to move the fire department and the police department out to a piece of property they had already purchased and reassessed the entire situation. So today's meeting, we were only allowed to send one library representative to. There were 5 different plans presented by the new architect. Of those 5 plans, some of them would remodel the current building on the current site, and some of them would, and I think the consensus is right now in that building is the city admin, the police department, the library, and the fire department. And there's just not enough room for all of them to be in that one building. But there's not an agreement on what to do next. One of the proposals puts the fire department and the police department together. There's a lot of discussion about whether the police department needs their own shower. There's also a proposal that puts the city, the library, and the police on the existing footprint in a 3-story building with the library on the 3rd floor. There's a proposal that includes the city and the police on the current plan with no discussion of where the library would go. And then there's a proposal that keeps the administration and the library together, but it's not clear whether we would have more space than we currently have. I haven't seen the plan yet because Kara was the one who went today. So I'm not getting a clear sense from the city about where they want the library to go in this discussion. Cold Spring's been kind of all over the place, and I just wanted to let you know that these discussions are taking place. It felt a little weird to not be able to send more than one person to this meeting.
It sounds like the city is kind of closing the door on some of those discussions with the library, and that's a little concerning. So I'll keep you informed. Again, it's the year we look at the library development plan. Be an opportunity to revisit where we've been with Cold Spring and where we should go from here. And then, let me see. I think that was the last building one. Look, there's just a lot. Okay, that was it.
Okay. Anything else on others? No. Then we'll move to committee reports.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Can I just ask Karen for a clarification?
Sure.
So looking at the LST grant, how did we decide on this group of partners to do the work that they are doing for looking at our hiring practices?
Filson Talent. We actually asked a couple of different entities, and they came in at the proposal that made the most sense for us. And one of the things that we were looking at is whether they were local. We wanted somebody who actually was from central Minnesota.
But qualified enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of Megan's last name. Do you remember Megan's last name, Julie? Megan's actually one of the researchers for Filson Talent, and she has a degree in, I think, public administration or something along those lines. So she had a nice background that fit with our job description needs. I think one of the challenges with our job descriptions is we still have to meet requirements for, like, ADA. And in our posting practices, we still need to keep veterans' preference in mind. So on the table tonight, you got their recommendations. We just received those this afternoon.
Anything else? Okay, then we'll move on to committee reports, Finance Committee.
The Finance Committee considered a preliminary budget for the coming year, but we decided to wait until the audit is complete for more detailed and finite data. And so that was agreed upon. We heard that we still have some, maybe some responsibility to help out with some of our local partners to clarify specifically what our functions are, but that can possibly be overcome. But we're still waiting for additional data to be the key takeaway from finance. So we've got time. And also on the part of anything affiliated with county government, waiting for the end of the legislative session. So, always in the back of our mind.
Can you move for approval?
And I make a motion to approve the report.
Is there a second?
Second that.
Seconded by Chris
Thank
King.
You.
Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Personnel Committee?
We had a meeting and elected a new chair. That's me. Thanks to Jane for 3 years as chair. We approved some personnel policy updates, which included changes in PTO eligibility and availability, accrual rates and maximums. And Julie gave us some background on that, and she also gave us just a little bit of information on this packet that you had on your table with the Filson Talent packet, which had some info about job description language changes that are designed to attract more diverse, a more diverse group of applicants. That was it. We do not have another meeting scheduled at this time. So I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the Personnel Committee report. Thanks for being the chair. She did a great job. Any other questions for Melissa or any people on that committee? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Central Minnesota Library Exchange verbal.
I can give that.
Go ahead.
We have a new person doing our financial reports, so we're trying to clean those up so that they're more understandable. They've also agreed to stay in the same residence that they've been at. We were looking at different places, but they're going to stay where they are and kind of downtown in St. Cloud over by the Target building, by the Target store. And we have a small group working on our bylaws. Hopefully we can reduce the amount of people that we need from this board to help manage the CMLE group. And we will be talking about more mini-grants coming up in our June meeting. We're trying to figure out where the money in our excess reserve is, also how we can use that. And our next meeting is in June, and that will be Mary Eberle's last meeting on the CMLE. She's been there for 9 years and has been a great benefit to that board. So she will definitely be missed.
What day in June? Do you know what that is?
I think it's June 1st.
I don't remember. Do you have it, sir?
Wasn't it March 1st?
It was March 2nd.
Okay.
So yeah. It's the first Wednesday, I think.
So I believe that's June 1st.
Okay.
Thanks for that. Any questions of them? I will try and make that one. We were in the cities for the last one. Even though we scheduled it for a Wednesday,
It should be changing to two people off this board, right? Eventually, is that?
Yeah, and I think your term is up at the end of June as well. So after the June meeting, hopefully they amend their bylaws. So we currently have 5 seats on the CMLE board, and that doesn't count the seat I'm in because that's the public librarian seat. And I'm hoping we can amend the bylaws so we only need 3. So if you and Mary term off, then the next discussion would be, can we stagger it so that you don't have everybody going off at the same time? But
yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Unless you really want to stay on, I'm sure somebody else would be happy.
It's okay, but number 12.1, the Great River Regional Board Bylaws Amendments. It's on page 23.
These were the ones we looked at in February, and we haven't heard anything new from the IRS on the 501c3 status, but this is required language that we said we would be putting in our bylaws to comply with their request for our 501c3 application.
And so, action item? We need to do this in order to keep our 501c3, I understand.
To maybe get it.
To maybe get it.
Yet.
Oh, we don't have it yet. That can be a long process.
It is a long process.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It might be to the end of it. Let's hope.
Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion to approve these changes.
Motion's been made by Christine. Is there a second?
No second.
Seconded by Al. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Anything else under unfinished business? New business, financial policy updates, page 33.
What we're doing this year is asking for approval of updates to financial policies, chapter 11 and 18. In 2021, the library switched programs within our credit card vendor. It offers more flexibility and user autonomy. So what we'd like to do is expand the number of cardholders. So what we needed to do was ask that we want to remove the sentence that lists all the authorized signers that are allowed for the program. We want to get rid of that one. And then we added a clarifying sentence about the executive director having discretion over privileges. On chapter 18, the card and card payment transactions policy, just clarifying more of a technicality than anything, we accept more than just credit cards for card payments, and this policy is just being updated to reflect our actual practices. by including the verbiage payment cards, so credit and payment cards.
Okay, and this is an approval on action item again. So you heard, is there any questions for Amy?
I move approval.
Lee's mate.
Second, Randy.
And second by Randy. Any other discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Any other new business to come before the board? Hearing none, we'll move to board open forum. Anything you want to share with us?
It went so fast, we can see.
I was going to ask Karen, any update on the legislative stuff? What is happening? Can you give us some update on that bill?
I think, what did I last say at the board meeting? Zuri and I testified last week. Was that last Wednesday? The Wednesday before. Again, on the bill, we got some really interesting questions from Representative Ron Crescia about the bill, which is even more interesting when you know that he was one of the co-authors in a previous legislative session on the exact same bill. As far as I know, it was laid over in House Committee, and there hasn't been any movement there. I haven't heard yet where it's at in the Senate, and I haven't gotten bill numbers yet on the library bonding requests. So hopefully those come through soon. Jamie had gone to the legislative update last Wednesday, and it sounds like somehow they lost the bill jacket for the bonding bill. Things at the Capitol aren't working the way they normally would work still. So I think that there's a lot of challenges with that in and of itself. I have a meeting scheduled with Representative Crescia next Tuesday after I go to the Morrison County Board. I believe Terry is going to be going with me. And we're going to talk about the value of libraries with Representative Crescia. So hopefully we'll gain his support. I would love to get his signature on the bill, even though it's probably as far as it needs to go on the House side for right now.
I mean, what was said at that was pretty discouraging. I left that and I was like, you should be supporting it. And I hope that that turns around and he becomes supportive, because it kind of sounded like his questioning was, if you have so many branches and some are doing fine and some are in need, then why should we give money to all of them, because some of them are already flush with money? And it's like, that's not how it works.
Right. Yeah, he was asking how many were deficit spending, and then he asked whether they could make the policy change without adding dollars, which would mean Great River would lose money. Yes. So, yeah, the sad thing, like behind the scenes, I had conversations with our lobbyist. He was intentionally asking those questions in the committee hearing because he's a Republican and the chief author is a Democrat, when you get right down to it. So it's unfortunate that politics are already starting to come into play this early on a bill that's generally bipartisan supported. So, yeah, disappointing for sure. It's still, I mean, Representative Wolgamott's the chief author. Zuri and I were part of a town hall with him and Melissa Hortman before the session started, and she knows this is on her radar. So I think on the House side, we're in good shape. It's a matter of whether or not it'll make it through the Senate. So if you have senators who are Republicans who would be willing to remind Chief Author Mark Johnson in the Senate how important it is, and the committee chairs how important it is, that would be helpful. Because this is where, I mean, you saw the fluctuation in our state funding just in that last email I sent. You know, we have $110,000 more than we thought we did last September because two numbers changed in the formula. And it shouldn't be that volatile. It should be a lot more predictable than that.
It's been vulnerable since I've been here.
Yeah, it's always worked like that. It's just never made it across the finish line at the legislature. And we're lucky it went the right way.
Okay.
It could have been. There's a system that lost that money in order for us to have gained that money. That's the reality. The total dollar amount doesn't change. When ours goes up and down, that means somebody else is getting more or getting less.
Anybody have anything else?
$9 billion in surplus.
It just $2 million
boggles
bucks
the mind.
That's all we need,
right?
Yeah. Things don't always work down there quite like you think they do.
Missouri has been such an...
And when there's a surplus, it gets even crazier.
Yeah.
So it'll be to the last minute with everything. And
yeah, we were down at the Capitol on February 28th, and, you know, there were really positive meetings with all of the legislators we met with, and most of them are Republicans because they're from our area. I think what I heard, though, was they had just recalculated the surplus that week to be an even higher number, and they said it's just sticker shock. Like, it's kind of slowing things down, if anything, because there is so much money and so much unknowns.
One of the conversations we had when we were there, that if you start looking at different things, the state owes so much money where they've borrowed from this fund and borrowed from that fund to keep running. So why don't we just pay all our bills once and get back to square one? I don't think that's on their radar.
Yeah.
I mean, they got $9.3 billion, and, you know, we were talking, you know, $130 million is borrowed from this part and, you know, $1 billion from this part. Pay it all back and then worry about your surplus? You know, if you were doing private business, or you and me, we'd have to pay that back first and then worry about the surplus, but they're not going to operate that way. It's kind of insane the way they actually operate. So when you talk about losing things, so we met with, you was there, right, Lisa, with O'Driscoll and them in that room off down in the Senate.
I wasn't on that. So then
we got escorted out through another door where we went through this hallway, and this is where your jackets and your bills are. Oh, what a mess. It was like just rows after rows after rows, and it's like, no wonder we can't get anything done with our comment when we left. And your Morrison County administrator was with us, and his comment, you know, he's a longtime service person, and his comment, we were going to the Capitol, he goes, I've never been here. And in the next conversation, he says, I've been to the Oval Office and the Pentagon, but he's never been to the Capitol. We just looked at him and, wow, you know. But it was good. It was a good day, and we've seen a lot of people that, you know, hopefully can help us out. So, and I will talk to Senator Matthews. He's been listening
pretty
well to what we have to say. So,
yeah.
Anything else that needs to come before us to discuss? Otherwise, our next meeting is May 17th. And we are adjourned.